words, access denied. Traveling home and hoping to get a bite to eat or maybe pick up some food for the family, walk up to our favorite restaurant, and it's still right before time. Walk up to the door, give it a tug, and guess what? It's locked. Access denied. Conversations that seem to be open-ended, and then in their own way, in their own right, because of their own season, the message came back, two words, access denied. Years ago, navigating the ropes with a career in wildlife science and progressing on and going from professor to professor, science project to science project, wildlife species to wildlife species, going one way, and then all of a sudden one day it seems, well, it seems like this was the heading over that too, access denied. I wonder if God's people here tonight have had that experience, and I wonder where that's been for you. If you had a chartered course, you had an endeavor in mind, and you went for it, you pursued it, and you were right there, and then all of a sudden came the message, access denied. I think we've had that experience, haven't we? But here's the thing. How much more sweet then is it when that heading over your life situations and mine changes, and it goes from access denied to access what? Access granted. Would you believe that this has been the experience of God's people for hundreds of years? The last several weeks we've been going through the book of Exodus together, seeing how God did just that for his people, granted them access into a much, much better place, away from the big bully on the block by the name of Pharaoh, away from the Egyptians with their whips and their cords and their bullying demeanors, and onto a much, much better place, from access denied to access granted. But once again, I have to ask you, how sweet is it when you've been experiencing this in life, access denied? How great is it when you finally get that taste of access what? Access granted. Isn't that great? See, God's people experienced that in Exodus chapter 24. And here's what we heard. And I hope you heard it a moment ago through our first reading. Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. This is what we hear. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. But know this, you're to worship at a distance." So in other words, don't get too close. Or maybe as I read that, and maybe as you read that, there's two words that are thrown over that as a heading. And you know what they are. You've been there, and maybe you've experienced it. Maybe in some ways you feel like you're living it. What are those two words? Access denied. See, God's people don't have full access yet to God. And I know that's something that's hard for us to wrap our minds around because, well, let's be honest, because of Jesus Christ, we have a much, much different message and heading over our lives. But for God's people at this point in time, two words, two really hard, indigestible words. What are they? Access denied. And here's why. Because God in his word tells us that we're born with this condition. And we don't like to talk about it, but guess what? It affects every part of our lives. It's called sin. God in his word tells us that we're born into sin, believe it or not. And because of this, because of being born in sin, we're actually enemies of God. And that's hard to hear, but he tells us that in his word. And he tells us that unless something is done about this sin, it's access denied. In other words, how could a group of people infected with something called sin approach an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy God? Here's where God's people landed, at the mountain. Access denied. But here's the thing. Moses gets to draw near. It makes us kind of wonder, well, how does that work? God tells us in Exodus, let me show this with you once again. Exodus 24, verse 2. God said, "Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." So here's why. God has strategically put in their lives a mediator, a go-between. But here's the question once again. How is Moses able to do this? I mean, after all, isn't Moses a sinful person as well? The answer is yes. Isn't Moses born into sin just like the rest of us? The answer is yes. Isn't Moses an enemy of God because of the original sin in his life, just like us? The answer is yes. So how does Moses get to do this? And what's going to happen for God's people? You know, are they always going to have to live under the heading of access denied? Here's what God tells us in his word, Exodus 24, verse 8. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." See, blood is how God's people get out of Egypt. God, in his method of busting his people out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, you know it and I know it, sends the plagues. And one of the final ones, it is a doozy. It's the plague of the firstborn. God's avenging angel goes over the homes in the neighborhoods. And any home that doesn't have the blood of the pure and spotless sacrifice on its doorpost gets visited. But here's how you get out. Here's how you get the pass. It's about the blood. And this is how the Israelites gain access to God. It's through the blood. Exodus 24, verse 9 to 11. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They saw God and ate and drank. Not only do the Israelites get to see God, and for you and for me to understand that that's just, that is hard for us to wrap our minds around, but they get to see God, and not only do they see God, but they get to do what in his presence? Eat and drink. How great is that? No more is it access denied, it's access what? Granted. And you know how it happens? It happens through the blood. This is God's gift to you. Access granted. Not because of the blood of goats or bulls or chickens or... but because of the precious blood of someone else. See, friends, let me put it to you this way. Blood is how you get out of Egypt. And you know Egypt, and so do I. It's that place where we wrestle with guilt. It's that place where we wrestle with bondage and a rucksack full of stuff that we just don't feel like we can shake. Egypt is that place where we're constantly reminded of our past and brokenness and hurt and pain. Egypt is this place where it gets really dark and ugly and it seems like there's no hope or there's no light. But here's what God does for you and for me. God provides you a way out of Egypt. And you know how he does it? He does it through the blood. And the blood is how you and I gain access to God. And here's the question. Whose blood is it? It's his. It's the blood of Jesus Christ spilled for you and for me. You see, on that Good Friday, there were a lot of people calling for blood. And if you know the story, you know how it plays out. The Jews are calling for blood. They're calling for the blood of Jesus. Herod, in his own way, as part of this trial scam and scheme, he calls for Jesus' blood too, doesn't he? Pilate wants to wash his hands of it. He wants nothing to do with it, but he plays a part as well, doesn't he? The soldiers, let's be honest, they played their part. They wanted some blood, and boy, did they get it. The executioners got their share as well. But here's what you need to know. This was not an accident that Jesus landed on the cross. It wasn't just some happenstance. Well, Jesus was in the wrong place, wrong time. Jesus was at the right place at the right time for you and for me. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, it's not access denied for God's people. It's access what? Access granted. Tomorrow night, I hope you're able to come back as we take another moment to pause and reflect about this reality. God on the cross for you. Maybe you grew up in a household with an absent father, a controlling mother, someone who was there, but maybe they shouldn't have been there. Maybe you grew up in a house with brokenness, and the last thing you experienced was unconditional love. But tonight, God gives that to you through his son, Jesus. And tonight, we remember and we see a great reflection of that love for you and for me, that God himself would take a place he didn't have to, but he wanted to for you, so that your lives wouldn't be defined by access denied or in Egypt, but that it would be defined by access granted, courtesy of Jesus Christ. How good is that? Hebrews 10, verses 19 and follows, shares this with us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, did you catch that? We have confidence. You need a little pep in your steps tonight, people of God. You've been beat down by life. You've been carrying stuff around this week that just needs to be let go. Let it go tonight. Let it go. Leave it here. Because God says through his word, because of Jesus, it's not only access granted, but you have confidence. Put a smile on your face. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. That's good news. That's good news for God's people, for you tonight. Confidence for things like this. Confidence when you pray that you are heard. And maybe you've been praying for a long time. Maybe for some of you it's been days, weeks, months, maybe it's been years. But because of Jesus Christ, you and I have the confidence and the assurance that we're heard and that we can draw near. Confidence for drawing near. Confidence for living life. Confidence for speaking and receiving forgiveness. And confidence in this season of life as well. When you and I close our eyes for the very last time and open them in Christ's presence. And how do you get to do that? You get to do that because God loved you enough to spill his blood for you. That's how you get to do it. People of God, live with confidence. Live with hope. Live with a smile. Live with some Easter joy. It's coming. God's gift to you tonight at this table. When you come forward tonight, I hope and I pray that you hear this message. Wherever you've been, no matter what's been going on, no matter what Egypt has been thrown into your lap, this is what God does for you. He gives you access to himself. Amen. This time in our service, I'd like to invite you to stand as we continue with our confession of Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Let's stand together.